In less than 5 days' time, the first tournament of the European Tour year, the $7 million Rolex Series event in Abu Dhabi, gets underway with a star-laden field, including the likes of Rory McIlroy, world number three Justin Thomas, and Open champion Shane Lowry, who actually won in Abu Dhabi 2 years ago. Also in the field will be the European Ryder Cup captain Padraig Harrington, whose own form towards the end of 2020 saw him rise more than 150 places up the world rankings. With the delay Ryder Cup scheduled for this coming September in Wisconsin, and the European points standings for qualification up and running again after a 9-month hiatus due to the pandemic, Harrington goes to Abu Dhabi as much as a man looking at potential players for his team as he is trying to continue on from his own fine form of late. And he's certainly not ignoring his own game. He's been telling Greg Allen this week that the long periods of lockdown in the last 9 months have made him reassess the way he looks at the next phase of his career, just a matter of months away from his 50th birthday.
I hadn't taken a break for golf for 25 years. I didn't realise how much I needed it, but I did actually need a break from the competition. It's given me a bit of clarity about what I want to do in my golf going forward. And, you know, looking forward to this year. I think the lockdown brought it to a head, but certainly my caddy Ronan has been kind of at me over the last year that I'm running out of time, that I don't have time. I suppose the dream of always getting better and better, well, I don't have that time. I probably have a couple of years where I can compete with what's there at the moment. And, you know, I better get out there and do it if I want to. I can't try and get my game ready for 5 years' time because there mightn't be a 5 years' time. I you know, the way the game is going, I am competitive at the moment, but 5 years' time with new guys coming in, it's going to get harder and harder and harder, and I'm getting older and older, and strength, speed, power is going to be more relevant to me as I'm losing it and they're gaining it. So, yeah, I've got to try and win now. There's no point in kicking the can any further down the road.
You're not mentioning seniors golf, which obviously becomes available to you after the 31st of August of this year when you turn 50. You still want to stay on the main tour, by the sounds of things.
We're aware of what's happening, and I'm slated myself to play a couple of Champions Tour events. Even though there's a few before, I'm eligible in September, but I'm obviously the Ryder Cup is then, so I'm going to play a couple in October. But the reality of those are, I think if you go to the Champions Tour, you'll never come back to the main tours. It's just a different level of competition. My attitude is I've got 8 months up to up to August to establish whether I still think I can beat the young guys. And if I can, I will hang around and try and win on the main tours, because I think that would be an achievement to win at my age, or and clearly if I win a major, it's an achievement at any age. And if I don't feel I'm competitive, yeah, the Champions Tour beckons. And I don't think the Champions Tour is going to be easy for me. I'm hoping that maybe I'd be like Ernie Els, and when I turn on the Champions Tour, all of a sudden my putting becomes miraculously better. But I've turned the corner on my putting at the moment. If that stays good, yeah, I should be able to compete with these young guys. I don't give up anything to them off the tee at the moment. I'm sure that would change in 5-10 years' time. But right now I can compete physically, and I'm trying to do the mental stuff, and that will tell its own tale by August.
And do you feel kind of a bit proud now that you're playing well again, that because you're the European Ryder Cup captain and that you are a guy who could possibly win each week that you go out and play, that you got a little bit more sort of, I don't know, chutzpah, or you can puff your chest out with these guys and say, look, I'm still more than relevant as a player, even though I'm your European Ryder Cup captain?
I don't think like that at all. I would hate to play with a player that, you know, is going to make the team or potentially make the team and outplay them. I don't think that's a good thing at all in a given round. It's their time. It's not mine in terms of the Ryder Cup. I do have a bit of fun with some of them when I you know, some of these young guys, when I stand up in the tee and knock it outside them, and they're kind of going, gee, what's this old fella doing? But gone are the days that I'm not trying to create a legacy at this stage. My job is to make the right decisions off the golf course to help them play their best in the Ryder Cup.
Remarkably, Padraig, it's more than 2 years since you were appointed as Ryder Cup captain. It was, I think, around 8th or 9th of January of 2019. And really, as we're going to this Abu Dhabi Championship, which is a Rolex Series event, which is 1.5 times the points of any tournament that has gone before this as well, because the Ryder Cup points list is now up and running again as of the 1st of January after a 9-month hiatus due to the pandemic. Are you feeling it that this is really when it begins now in earnest? Although there are players who've got Ryder Cup points under their belt, but are you feeling it now that Abu Dhabi is the real start of where your attention is going to be very sharp?
Yeah, well, it's kind of left us in a strange place that because of the 2 years, all the administration work is pretty much done now, even though there's 8 months to go. Whereas in a normal Ryder Cup, you'd be still deciding on team colours and what you're going to wear here. And so I'm kind of left now with 8 months of just golf, looking at different players and stats and who's playing well, who's coming into form, who are the young guys that, you know, an extra year for the young guys is so important. Those rookies could mature, from being, you know, serious talents into mature talents in a year. I'm in a lot better position having that extra year because it's much more focused on golf. I have 8 months now to look at partnerships and try and, you know, hopefully see which of the senior players are going to be there and try and build bonds between them and some of the rookies who will make it. And you know, in 8 months, there are a few rookies certainly on the radar, and they're definitely, I'm still hoping for that one rookie that jumps out and has that miraculous year and is a star when it comes to the Ryder Cup. And, you know, you need those guys in the team because they don't just bring good golf. They bring enthusiasm to the old stalwarts who are, I know it's a Ryder Cup, but some of those old stalwarts need a little bit of excitement that week as well.
So actually, let's go down through what looks at this point possibly some of the lock-ins in the team. Obviously, John Rahm, world number two, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton looks like a lock-in almost, certainly by his form. He's inside the world's top 12 consistently now. Tommy Fleetwood, we know, he was a star of the last Ryder Cup, and he seems to turn up, especially in majors, in big events, with his nerve intact. And then you look at the fact that this is possibly a team in transition, and the likes of Rose and Stenson and Garcia and Poulter, who've been lock-ins for previous Ryder Cup teams and real stalwarts of previous Ryder Cup teams, they're all outside the top 35 in the world and in some cases going in the wrong direction. Yet you have the likes of Victor Perez, Victor Hovland. These are real players of exciting quality who are hopefully going to be rookies that will add energy to the team. And let's hope Shane Lowry's one of those. This is, in many ways, the look of a European team that's in transition. Would you agree?
I think you'd have to agree. And the extra year is definitely going to be a year too far for some of the older guys. So they're going to be replaced with new, young, fresh faces. You know, I'd be shocked if the likes of Victor Hovland, who I think he's 10 in the world, is he, or pretty close to it, if he's going to be there. And it's interesting because you mentioned there Shane as well, supposedly rookies, but they wouldn't be treated like rookies if they make the team. You know, Victor Hovland, right now at this moment, Victor Hovland is playing 5 matches. He's not just, you know, he's not a rookie. That's it. You're going out there and you've got responsibility. And Shane would be in a similar boat. He may be a rookie in terms of Ryder Cup, but with his experience of the game and who he is and how his stature, you wouldn't be treating him as a rookie. These are guys who, you know, are, they're going to replace some of the experienced guys, but you're going to put a lot on their shoulders because, you know, their game and their stature in the game says they have to handle it. So not rookies in the normal sense. So there is a change, but I'm sure some of those experienced guys, I think Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson might like to have the extra year in their case because, you know, they had struggled for form, you know, for the first 6 months of last year. They're starting to show a bit more form. Maybe this year is a break that they needed to reset themselves and focus. Certainly Justin Rose looks like he's coming back into nice form. Lee Westwood. What about Lee Westwood? Look, wouldn't I love to have Lee Westwood there in playing form and good form? These are the sort of guys you want. They have enough stature on the first tee that the US guys are going to be concerned and maybe get inside their heads. Clearly, Ian Poulter deserves a pick. You know, if he's still got two legs, he deserves a pick by the time the Ryder Cup comes around in 2021. So it would be extraordinary not for somebody like Ian not to get a run out based on what he has done in the past. Sergio Garcia loves the Ryder Cup. So, you know, you're talking older players there, but there is a good selection to pick from. There's probably six of them that will end up getting four places on the team, kind of like that. But yes, the extra year will cost one or two of them their place. There's no doubt about it.
One way or other, you're going to go out to Wisconsin, to Whistling Straits, as underdogs, because it almost always is the case that Europe are underdogs in America. And we know as well that Europe tend to do quite well when they're painted as underdogs. But this time, this looks like an American team that's going to be the strongest since the legendary team of 1981, which was made up almost entirely of major champions. At the moment, currently as we're speaking, your opposite number, Steve Stricker, could pick his team from the top 17 in the world rankings. 12 Americans in the top 17 in the world rankings. Tony Finau wouldn't make the team, and we know how good that is if it was being picked straight from the world rankings. So you're going to be playing a phenomenal-looking American team, and does that almost suit you in a way, that you're going to be painted as underdogs and legendary European team spirit will be emboldened by that?
Yeah, we are underdogs in terms of that. We're away, you know, so we don't necessarily, they have the home support, they have the setup for the golf course. We're just going to have to find a way of doing it. That's it. We don't have a choice. It's the reality of the situation is they're incredibly strong, but Europe traditionally will work a way of getting the best out of its team in foursomes and four ball. On paper, you know, 12 singles against 12 singles, they look well. How could you beat 12 out of the top 17 in the world? Yeah, look, they're incredibly strong. Well, but we'll just have to work it that we get the best out of our foursomes and four ball, and you know, we figure a way of winning over 14 of the points. 14 and a half points will do just nicely out of 28. And that's what we will focus on. But there's no doubt that, you know, if this was played on paper, they're the favourites.
I remember just over 2 years ago, you were somewhat in trepidation, wondering if you ever wanted or needed to be a European Ryder Cup captain, given that your playing career was so star-laden with events that obviously the three majors, but a lot more besides, which established you as a legend of Irish sport and a legend in modern-day golf. But you're now, by the time the Ryder Cup comes around, you'll almost be 3 years as Ryder Cup captain. Has that changed you in any way in terms of the way that you view yourself in golf, or how you view golf as a sport or as a golf person?
I don't think it's changed me. There has been ebbs and flows during that period of 2 years where it gets busy and you're doing stuff and you want to maybe do something else at that time. I know myself personally as a golfer, I need to become a different person as a golfer. So I don't have the luxury of going out this year and going, well, each golf tournament's all about me. I'm going to do all my practice and do all this. I physically can't do that anymore. Like, you know, I'm a wreck in the evening times as it is. I wake up in the morning with all my bones creaking at this stage, you know. So I needed to reduce the amount of practice and work I do at golf events, which frees up time to be Ryder Cup captain and to be a little bit more social and a little bit more relaxed. Maybe the Ryder Cup could be a nice catalyst for me just to take a little bit of a step back from my own golf, which I kind of need to do at this age. And enjoy being captain, enjoy my golf, and think the 3 years really has settled that a bit. I think if it was all pressed into one short period, I think it would, you know, get over my head completely. It would definitely get in on me.
You're a professional golfer, obviously, for what is it now, quarter of a century, and part of that, and you've mentioned the PGA Tour, involves playing in America. And this is obviously a time in history which will be looked back in school books in 30, 40 years' time as being an extraordinary period of history. How do you feel about travelling to America? Just right now, the way things have been?
Look, this is the craziest time ever. Can you imagine the thought, and this is on two fronts, that is it safe to go to America? It's imagine having that thought. Like, could you imagine saying that to somebody like, a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, that you might consider, like, we travel all around the world and we do have to consider these things. When we go around the world, like, I started out, you know, playing down in my first tournaments where you needed malaria tablets and things like that, all the way up to we traveled places that, you know, could be considered dangerous to people. Now I'm actually, you're thinking, well, what about the United States? I did play a couple of events there before Christmas, like in October. And it was very much like people think that the US is like a free for all when it comes to COVID. But it was very similar. The events I played were very similar to what I saw was similar to what Ireland would have been like in the summer. Clearly, it wasn't, you know, this perception that the US is a free for all is not the case in terms of COVID. They may be open in certain states, but people are very aware and trying to live their life, but taking precautions also. So it wasn't what people would necessarily be told in the media. Now, obviously, we have, you know, the political situation. And I travel into the States and over the years love to talk about politics with my friends in the States because, you know, I'm meeting both sides of the table, but broadly I'd be meeting obviously more Republicans and you can throw it out there at dinner and throw it out there. And it's great fun to have a political conversation because obviously coming in as an international, we would be seen to have a broader opinion, I suppose. But it's, you wouldn't mention it now. It's crazy times, the polarization and how deep people have got themselves into either side. And clearly the problem is it's such a small percentage of people that have a loud vocal voice that it seems like it's a crazy world. But again, when you go there, it'd be an oddity for me to come across somebody who really, I'd be sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe you think like that. As in, there's most people are pretty much in the center. But yeah, it's something to be considered, no doubt about it, going into the States. You know, what is it going to be like in over the next, I'm due to be there in about 3 weeks' time. What's it going to be like in 3-4 weeks' time? I played in Northern Ireland in the early 90s and the 80s. Okay. People down south thought that was madness to go up to Northern Ireland, let alone people internationally. And yet you never felt safer or more welcomed when you traveled in. You were always made felt very comfortable and welcoming. And, you know, so that's what golfers do. We get out there, we play. But it will be interesting. And just the mere notion that I've had to consider it going to the States is just says what crazy times we're in.
And finally, Potter, you're one of the most optimistic people I've ever come across in sport. And this obviously is a time which challenges optimism. You're looking into 2021. Are you family-wise, career-wise, the fact that one of the biggest years of your golf career as Ryder Cup captain for Europe is ahead of you, do you have a sense of optimism or can you have a sense of optimism?
Oh, I definitely have a sense of optimism. I am an optimistic person. You know, there's a lot going on, obviously, in my own personal life in terms of the Ryder Cup, in terms of my golf. And you know, my kids are at a great age and I've got to spend a lot of time with them this year and had great fun in that sense. I am very aware, though, that this isn't the same for everybody else. This is, you know, this is the worst of times for people. There's many people out there who are not just suffering now, who will continue to suffer because of what's happened with COVID and going forward. And it is a very strange place to be, even in a family sense. I'm going to be away playing these nice tournaments in nice weather, in a very safe environment, and I'm leaving my family at home. And you know, I'm off enjoying myself and they're not. And yet you're aware of, I suppose, the misery for people at home in certain places that, you know, what's going on. And it's hard not to feel, it's an awkward feeling. It's hard to be out there enjoying yourself when you know a lot of people aren't. Are having a tough time. And it is very strange. There is part of me that's really looking forward to what will be close to normality for me out there playing golf. But there is part of me aware that people are having it tougher than ever right now at the moment. But I do realise that these things, you know, hopefully, I say hopefully, but it should pass and we should move on and we will be in a better place in time. Things will be better. I know I can only look after somewhat. I can only look after my little world and manage, you know, keep myself optimistic about what I'm doing and what's going forward. And But even in my case, you know, there still has to be an element of touch wood and stay lucky that I'm not the one to catch a bad case of COVID, because there is a risk of that happening.
Padraig Harrington, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Sport, and we wish you on your travels, obviously, and your family the safest of scenarios in 2021, and good luck in what's a very big year for you as European Ryder Cup captain.
Thank you, Greg.